Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready to ride? Round the block now. Everyday scene, dope fiends, and the cops round. At any traffic stop, we could be shot down. And in the courts, it's just us. Justice is not.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Injust Us, the show that shares stories of injustice and allows listeners to ask questions and seek advice. Each week, we feature guests who are making a difference in the Black community or have been personally affected by the criminal justice system. My name is Melinda Robertson, and I'm a member of the WPGR All-Female Radio Network. I am the founder of Black Mothers for Justice, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit organization created to be a support system for mothers with children wrongfully or rightfully incarcerated. My latest book, A Black Mother's Guide, How to Survive the Criminal Justice System, is now available. It was written out of necessity because statistics show three Black boys will go to prison in their lifetime. This much-needed book provides information about arraignments, bail, Miranda rights, public defenders, etc. The purpose is to educate and enlighten mothers about the judicial process. It also includes stories of injustice from five Black mothers whose lives have been impacted forever. Please visit www.blackmothersforjustice.com to order your copy today. Tonight's featured guest, Shonda Smith, is the CEO and founder of Murder Mistaken. She's a courageous mother who experienced gun violence in a way no mother should ever have to. In December 1996, her 15-year-old daughter and 19-year-old son were shot to death in the streets of D.C. in a case of mistaken identity. Her resilience and ability to triumph over such a devastating loss and become an activist is commendable. Shonda wrote about her journey in A Black Mother's Guide, How to Survive the Criminal Justice System, to help other mothers cope with the loss of their children. Today, she advocates for the families of other victims. Please help me welcome Queen Shonda Smith to the show. Hey, Shonda, how are you this evening?
Hey, how you doing, Melinda? Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Girl, such a blessing. I'm so thankful that you agreed to be on the show and all you're doing in the community. I'm just so proud of the woman that you are and your resilience. So I thank you so much for being on the show. You are truly a queen.
Thank you, love. Yes.
It has been 26 years since losing your children to gun violence. How would you describe your journey since their untimely death?
26 years. I can look back, but I can smile when I look back. It ain't been easy, Melinda, at all. Some days I wonder if I was coming or going, you know, in the beginning. But today I can say I have came past that. You know, I guess through faith, a lot of praying and being alone and, you know, trying to be there for my other children, you know, because they were 2 and 4 when the kids got killed. And it was in 93 when they got killed, a week before Christmas.
Okay.
So I was trying to raise a 4 and a 2-year-old, one already in school, one getting ready to go to school. And, you know, children are children. You know, they had to remind me it's Christmas. You know, to get them through their Christmases. My kids always earn whatever they receive. If they need to stop supporting, that's what they got for Christmas. I get a game and play with them. It wasn't really a struggle because I grew up in D.C. in the 60s. We didn't have much. you know, and what we did have, we were appreciated for what we had. So I thank God for my foster mother for raising me that way, you know, to be thankful for what you have. I mean, a whole lot of people don't get nothing for Christmas, you know, and that was just something I had to live through, to get through.
Yes, and then your other children, your other sons, they were so young, so they didn't understand what was going on, you know, because what you say, they were 2 and 4.
They were 2 and 4 years old at the time of when this happened. They were with me this night. As a matter of fact, all of us were together, but then we kind of got separated, you know, looking for my sister. She wanted to meet me, you know, always take the kids to a Christmas party that Myron Barry sponsors in the District of Columbia every year. The Barry was in Austin, Ward 8. And like I said, if the kids got a game, they was happy. They, you know, they weren't tripping off no day. Because all my kids always wondered, did you cook? The main thing in my household, did you cook? Them boys could eat. And I mean, my daughter, she wasn't no slouch either. She could eat too, you know. And we went through what we had to go through. You know, it wasn't easy. I thank God for being there, because it was only him and through the grace of him that I was able to get through it. I don't know how I did it, but I know there's a whole lot of praying on, you know, to help me to see a way that I can get through this. I mean, it was safe, you know. The night that it happened, and I guess after the morgue and all this, your kids did, I got to get away from everybody now, and I went back to the scene of the crime. Of course, there's no tape. There's no glass. But I did get to see the car before I had to go to the morgue. And I said, that is the car they was in. And it wasn't a good sight. That car was bullet ridden. Plus, it was two other kids in the back seat that nobody knew about. I knew they were there. But I guess that's part of the investigation, how the police, they don't tell you everything. And Fox 5 and the rest of them, they don't get the whole 411. But I had to live with that. You know, I'm going to do this. This can't be happening. You know, and then the real world. People didn't care about, okay, so you had two kids killed. They'll tell you, get over it. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on back then. But I think, and I still say again, there was a God. And it was only through him. And I had to, you know, I had to let it go. For real, I had to let go. I didn't want to let go, but I had to let go. And when I say let go, let him do what he does. I had to trust in him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have made it. You know, I wouldn't go sit up there, you know. Nobody tell you nothing, you know. I mean, even after I found out, I had to sit on it. You know, I couldn't tell nobody what I knew or what the police had discussed with me. You know, it wasn't easy. It was very hard for me.
Wow, and your son was home on winter break from college, right?
Exactly. Whole future, both of their futures, it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? I mean, they had their plans. You know, that's how I raised my kids. They had goals of what they were going to do and how they were going to go about doing it, you know.
Right.
Like I said, my kids had everything. They earned their way. And what they had to do, you know, to be productive. And a lot of people just didn't get it. I mean, you know, I had people telling me, oh, you this and that, and how to raise your kids, and you doing this and you doing that. But Linda, I didn't have no other choice but to do what I had to do for my kids.
Oh, absolutely. That's what mothers do. That's what mothers do. But the fact that your daughter was an honor roll student and in an after-school program and your son was home on winter break from college when this incident happened is a testament to the mother that you are, Queen.
And I know this. And these are all coming to the light. Every last bit of it is coming to the light. I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry about it no more. I mean, you know, some days I felt like giving up. You know, I ain't never been a people pleaser anyway. I just know where I came from. And like I said, I was raised that way. I mean, they can punch holes in the story all they want to, but I know what God did for me. He didn't have to do what he did for me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Burying a child is one of the hardest things for any mother to have to experience. So burying two at the same time is even
right,
more devastating. Right. So how were you able to put your life back together the days following? Did you know what I mean? The day after their funeral. Because you had a double funeral.
Yes. Right there on Hoffman Street. As a matter of fact, I was asking people, what you doing over here? You know, they were showing that we had to be here. Oh, okay. And trying to figure out, well, who's these other people? I didn't know nobody. But I thank God for Elder Chambers because he came to my house and he visited. And I was just honest with him. I've always been an honest person, even though it might hurt me in the long run. But what I'm going to laugh for when you have faith, God's going to work it out either way. I have faith.
Yeah.
You know, it might look crazy to other people, but this is God made me just as I am. Sometimes, I mean, even after that happened, I didn't question him about it. I just told him, that's why you made me like this. He made me like this. You know, sometimes I wondered, you know, I used to try to feel, you know, especially growing up in the 60s, that something was wrong with me. Wasn't nothing wrong with me. I had to find my way. And I've had some remarkable people in my life that I was able to keep going in spite of, no matter what they say. Sean, they don't know what they're talking about. They just talking. So they're not going to help you. You know, even people that said they was going to help me, they don't even speak to me today. So that's funny to me. And I
Wow,
like
so you never questioned, you never once questioned God?
What do you mean question? Question by who?
Remember that said you never once questioned God. You know how when we're going through certain situations, you say, okay.
We were taught that way.
Okay.
I guess as children, if we wanted anything, my mother always told us we were special, even though we were foster kids. Oh, when they found out we were foster kids, people, you know, they treated us differently. Like, you act like them your kids. She said, this is my house and you can go. You know, sit up here and talk in my house about my children and how I'm raising my children. I know what I'm doing. Maybe God had his own plan. And a lot of times he do. We don't know what it is. We really don't.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. But he found a way to pull me through. And had it been for him, I couldn't believe in man or trust in man to help me get through what I need to get through because everybody had their own agenda, even like today. You know, people tell you one thing and then turn around and do another. I don't, you know, I'm just thankful to be right where I'm at right now talking to you. I'm glad you can't see my face for real. You know, I'm like, oh, Lord. You know how I am, Melinda. I'm like, oh, Lord, I done put on a red shirt, done wash my hair. I mean, these are the emotions that I go through. You know, these are the things I go through. You know, I have time to myself, and fall ain't my season. You know, it took me 25 years to realize the kids got killed in fall, not winter, Shonda. A week before Christmas, we still in fall. Christmas don't come till the 21st. And I kept saying, this winter.
Right, and there's a problem, and then your son was on, because your son was also, that was considered winter break, you know what I mean, from school.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
so
that's
let me.
Why I kept thinking it was winter. Yeah.
Right. So that's probably also. So I just want to remind the listeners that you can press 1 if you'd like to join the conversation, or if you have a question you'd like to ask Shonda. So Shonda, you founded Murder Mistaken in Memory of Vellante and Rodney, your children.
Yes.
So what is the mission of Murder Mistaken?
And the families after the loss of a loved one to homicide. You know, like after the funeral, after everything that goes down, we come to a place that people go on about their business. You know, it's like, okay, on to the next one. You know, like no regard or, you know, and the children that are left behind, so many babies left behind that, I got skills anyway. I mean, I was raised here in the district, but I'm just saying how, those things that were taught to me, I never knew that they meant anything. I was one of them rebellious type high school kids.
I don't need this, I don't need that. And the whole time I needed it, and God was just preparing me. I didn't know. I really didn't. I didn't understand, you know. Just trying to get through another day. You know, so I did that to strengthen family, because after all, I am a mother. I had to raise mine, and it wasn't easy in raising mine. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't easy at all. And while some folks might feel, oh, this is how they do it, that's how they do it, I know how I did it. And my kids, just like they grown today, they were 4 and 2. They tell me, oh, we know the struggle. We got you, shorty, whatever. Whatever you want, you can get. Because I told them they had to earn everything. That's just like my son. He was in college. He came home for Christmas break. Okay, so did you earn any scholarships? Yeah, Mom. Okay, so why you coming home? Man, it's Christmas. Boy, you ain't going to miss nothing. It's the same old, same old. I'm going to get a couple of games, whatever. But then I guess he just wanted to be home with his family.
Right.
You know, you know, I look at them now. Somebody blessed me this year and gave me a portrait with all 5 of my kids, you know, and my 31-year-old son today says, she really looks like she's 14. This is the first picture I ever seen my sister looking 14. And I had to really look at that picture because, for real, she was 14 when this happened, you know. And it wasn't easy for them. They had to go through what they had to go through, you know. And they were like, how can we make this right? How can we do what we got to do? And my thing is stay in school. You know, your brother and sister, they did all that they could, and somebody snuffed them out. That's just bottom line. For no apparent reason, it was a mistaken identity. And it ain't taken away from nobody else's and the love of their child or anything. It is what it is. And I go through what I have to go through, and I'm still a mother. You know, and it takes me back to my foster mother. She raised us. We were not her children. You understand what I'm saying? Unconditional love, and that's what our Father gives us daily. I'm a firm believer. I don't care what nobody say. Punch holes in the story all you want to. But what works for you might not work for me, and I know what's working for me because it's continued to allow me to keep going in spite of.
That's a deal. Yeah, that's real, sis. That's real. So how long after their death did you become the activist that you are today?
Started right out. For real, I mean, I still had to raise my kids. I still had to do something. You know, I partnered with others, tried to help them in, I guess, their mission. And then I realized that wasn't my mission. So I had to do what I had to do to keep going. So I said, well, let me start my own, you know, because your kid's guilty in the district. I mean, I did my own investigation. Even the police department tell you, oh, she did her own investigation. I didn't have time to wait for them to tell me. I mean, I went back to school. I did everything I could think of so that I could keep going. I really did. I did everything I had to keep going. If that wasn't working, I moved on to something else and still raised my son. I mean,
right,
you got to raise
your kids. Just keeping busy, keeping moving, keeping busy.
I had to, you know, because sometimes you get caught up and they want to do and how they doing it. Ain't got nothing to do with you. Ain't got nothing to do with you.
Absolutely, because you have two different stories.
Yeah, it's like, well, with the homicide itself, excuse me, with the homicide itself, I realized I wasn't the only one, nor was I'm the only one, you know, that loves my children. Other people cared about my kids, too, and cared about me. You know, my thing was, how you going to say you care about my kids and you don't care nothing about me? You know, if you knew them, you would understand why people. And then there was so many kids. I mean, my daughter was only 14. My son just graduated Anacostia. He had a whole foot, you know, he MVP 3 years in a row. He played with the big boys. That was their year. You understand what I'm saying? 92, 93, my son was on that field, too. He played 3 positions. My daughter was an honor roll student. High school. She wanted to go to Baloo. I'm like, no, you stay at heart. You don't need to be at Baloo. I ain't got time to be chasing you down. And, you know, she wanted to, and she, I mean, you know. my kids did say, they were like, man, she ain't gonna let us do nothing. You know.
Yeah, girl. Yeah.
You know.
I know what you. My son. Yes, my son's friends used to call me the warden because I was right there with you, girl. I was that mother, you know. So listen, I believe we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead, caller.
Hi, my name is Janine. Hey, Shonda.
Hey, baby, how you?
I'm wonderful, love. How are you?
I'm here, sis. I'm here. And thank you for coming. Thank you for being here.
Well, when I saw the flyer, you know I had to call in. I just want to say to the host of this program, is your name Melinda or Belinda?
Belinda with an M.
Okay. Hi, Belinda. I'm Janine. I met Shonda, I think, around 2012, I think it was, Shonda.
Something like that. I can't even remember, like, Janine. It seemed like you've been around a lifetime.
Yeah, I know, right? But anyway, I just want to thank her because she really, really helped me out a lot. I lost a son in 95 as well, and I didn't know where to turn to. I didn't know anything about the district taking care of services and all that stuff. And then I met Shonda through a mutual friend, and ever since that day, she has been like my sister. She has been like my rock. She's been like my mentor. She called
thank
me up.
You.
We were on the phone for 3 and 4 hours. We never get off the phone within 20, 25 an hour. It's always 2 to 3 hours we're on the phone talking. And I just want to thank you because what you're doing, I don't get why people can't see what you're doing, especially during the Christmas time when you do the parties for the children. I know you do that. I try to support you as much as I can. You know that. And I'm going to always be down with you because of the fact that you were with me one night when I moved to Hagerstown, Maryland, and I came and picked her up one Friday night, and she rode up there with me. She was like, where are we going? I said, I'm going home. You live way out here. And we talked about our children, her children, my son, and I just opened up to her, which I've never done with anyone else. And that whole ordeal, I never opened up. And when we got to my place, we were like, oh, my God, we're finally here. So then I really opened up. I mean, when I say we talked and we shared some things, Melinda, we shared some things. And I'm just grateful to her. And I just pray that God will continue to guide her and lead her. And he's going to – he already ordered her steps. The steps are already ordered. She's an anointed woman of God. I just love her. I love her. Shonda, you know how I feel about you. I love you, and I thank you.
I already know you're going to make me cry, and you know I don't do no crying.
Wow. Janine, thank you so much for calling in, and I'm so glad that I just want to extend my condolences to you in the loss of your son, and I'm so glad that Shonda was there for you. Stay on the line so you can hear the rest of the show, okay?
I'm not going anywhere. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
all right,
baby.
Thank you so much. Shonda, your work is not being, it's not in vain. That's a true testament right there. That's a true testament right there. We actually have another caller. Caller, are you ready? Hello, caller. So we'll come back. So, Shonda, gun violence is out of control nationwide. What, if anything, do you think the community can do to stop the violence?
Well, like you said, as a mother, you got a chat. I mean, you got sons and daughters out here, and you know how it is out here. You got to stand in the gap for your children. Nobody can do it for you. Don't wait till it happens and say something about it. I mean, I've had other family members killed, and never thought it would ever happen to me. They had to help me get through it. So I'm like, so what did you do? Someone were like, well, I was waiting on the phone call, and I was like, wow, that is so weird. You were waiting on it. They was like, yeah. You know, because some of these kids get to the point that the parents, I mean, my other sons, I put them in peer pressure so that, you know, you can talk to me. You ain't got to talk to nobody else about what's going on with you, you know, and just trying to help these families through all of this. It ain't easy. And with the gun violence, I told them what I'm going to do, and I ain't gonna wait for nobody. Call me what you want to call me, but I'm going to do what I have to do. And that is simply, I'm going to have to go and register. I mean, you can't beat them, join them, because it's not going nowhere. I've been with gun advocates. I've done my marches. I've been on Capitol Hill at the Senate testifying about a drug bill, because they were trying to say, well, if we allow them to have this much of cocaine, they won't kill each other. That was just giving them more cocaine. And that bill, Ronald Reagan against drug crime on drugs or whatever that thing was, that
the war on drugs.
I don't even know what they're doing out there. You know, they tell me they smoking K2. As far as I'm concerned, that flavored tobacco, that hookah, something wrong with that too, because y'all not thinking. Give it back. You know, give it back. You don't want that. You know, you're going to have to move forward whether you want to or not. Nobody's going to sit there, because the homicides happen so frequently, you know, that you ain't going to have time to grieve. It's a lot of work we got to do. Let's say the babies that are still here. And that's what I'm trying to do. I don't want them to ever grow up talking about, well, ain't nobody was there for me. There is somebody there for you. I can't do what I ain't do for my own kids. You understand what I'm saying? I gave them options too. They had to grind. They had to get out there and do what was needed to be done to make them better. You know, my son, he want to be a fireman. You know, my heart was beat when he started driving. My heart started beating like, what in the world he gonna do for this? You know, I don't want them to with that, and I want my kids, you know, they minding their business, they going about their business, they doing what they got to do, you know. You know, I mean, I'm here to help with you and your kids if you don't know what to do.
Right.
You can't
allow
them to keep doing what they doing and wait till something happens, then all of a sudden you want to jump up and say, oh, they wrong, they did me dirty, they did this and they did that. But where was you at when there was help available? Don't never say no help available. A lot of places turned me down, and I kept on going. No ain't a word in my vocabulary. Don't tell me no, because I ain't going to do
right.
What I ask somebody else. You know.
Okay. Absolutely. So, callers, I just want to remind you, you can press 1 to join the conversation and speak to Shonda. So, Shonda, what words of encouragement do you have for mothers who have lost children? Whether it be to gun violence, there's mothers who've had to experience losing a child. What words of encouragement do you have for them?
The words I have for them, you know, a lot of them just ain't got there yet. They'll use God in a sentence, but do you know anything about forgiveness? I had to ask God to forgive me for a lot of things, Melinda. That's why I'm able to move forward and do the things that I do. It just wasn't easy for me. I'm always asking God to forgive me. I ain't perfect and ain't trying to be. You know, forgiveness is the key to your healing, not somebody else's. Everybody ain't there. Everybody's on the same page. I mean, we all have put something into the universe or spoke negative in the universe that now is manifesting. Ain't nobody doing nothing. Man, ain't nobody doing nothing. I mean, you know, just the negative stuff that we put out there. And when I see strong black mothers, we all in the same fight. We just coming from different angles. We're going to meet at the crossroad anyway. You know, that everybody has an opportunity to do what you're good at doing. You know, I mean, I understand now why you asked me to be a part of. Yeah, the justice system. Bug police, I did not let them get away with it. I called every day that I could think of, you know, for them to open up the investigation, go through some papers. I just found some old papers. You can't expect them to do nothing and you're not doing your part. Where they do that at?
Right.
You know, you don't want to talk to the police, this and that with the police, defunct the police and all this other dumb stuff. And I'm like, do they know they setting themselves up? They got a hard job too. I mean, I know some ex-detectives and people that's on the front line. They've been out, and I had to respect them because guess what? They was out there for us. How you going to eat in every, 15, 20 minutes another young man done got shot? They had lives and families too, rushing to the
game. Yeah, that's real.
You know, hey, somebody got to be the popo. Somebody got to do a job. But we can take back our communities, and it starts right where we at, neighborhood, block by block. Who run your block?
Yes.
I agree.
Wholeheartedly with that, sis. So it
and
was
we can't
8 years.
From the problem, because the problem is everywhere. They do home invasions in Maryland, Virginia. I ain't going out there. They might kick my door in, you know. I ain't worried about you in D.C. because I know the cuts, too. I know how to cut through the alley, too. I just ain't had to do it in the last 20, 30 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to you know your city. You know your street. Some of the people
yeah,
are like, where they come from? You know, y'all still doing the same thing y'all doing 20 years ago, where they was killing our kids, too, back in the 80s and the 90s. What's going on now in 2000, and I ain't trying to take away from nobody or make them hurt or no worse than what they do. What were you doing back in the 80s and the 90s? And that go for
mm-hmm.
our young people, too. Were you part
yeah.
of the problem?
So, yes, Fonda, it was 8 years following your children's murder that an arrest was finally made. What were your thoughts when you got that call?
I was working. I was contracted. I contracted for about 13 years. I mean, I might be into blip any goddamn on where for $8 an hour. Yes, I did. I went to Shady Grove for $8 an hour. I was up on Executive Boulevard. I got a phone call from a detective. And he said he had a suspect. And they wanted me to come downtown. I told him, you know I ain't coming downtown. Shoot, I'm way up here in Bethesda. You talking about stop before I go home? Plus, I got to pick up two kids. No, I don't work like that. Meet me on my lunch period. He came up. He brought me some pictures and said they had a suspect. Well, common sense, he said, you got a suspect, you got to get a witness. So now they working on the witnesses. I remember that funeral and the person that told me my daughter died in arms. That's not the same person. I'm telling you what I know. You know, people that were close to me, they got distant. You know, all of a sudden, don't nobody want to be around. They ain't looking for me. They even tried to convince me. They probably was looking for me. They weren't looking for me. They can get me anytime. I still run my mouth, and I'm still out of here. I ain't got time for that, and I ain't off brand, and I ain't street for real. But there was a time when I hit that pavement, and that was in the early 70s, I was all over the city. Like
mm-hmm.
I said, cut through alleys, jumped the fences, and had
mm-hmm.
no a child out there. And what the government's going to be looking for, because I'm an ex-ward of the District of Columbia government, wasn't nobody looking for me. They was hoping they'd find me in an alley somewhere, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted
yeah.
my kids.
Yeah, so mother has lived. You say mother has lived.
Mother done lived. Mother, sometimes with the grandkids today, I got to go back into another mother. I don't know about this new generation. I'm trying to work with them. But they can be molded a certain way. I raised all my kids like that. You know, every last one of them. It got to the point I told my son, don't be calling me from Kansas. You're going to put me on the B plane. You done graduated. You in college. Boy, get a pack of postcards. Matter of fact, let me mail you some postcards and stay. If you got calling on my line long distance, I mean, you know, you got jail calls coming. Come on, man. You know what happened in the 80s. It's a whole
mm-hmm.
lot that went on in the 80s and the 90s. Ain't no excuse for some of that stuff. I'm thank God that I survived that, and it was only him. You know,
mm-hmm.
I did some crazy things out there, but I ain't never take nobody's life to try to hurt nobody. If anything, I hurt myself, and I'm here
wow.
to tell somebody. You don't
right.
have to do that. You can't go about it the same way. You know,
right. It's a new
day. Ain't nothing new.
It's a new day.
You know.
Hang on.
That's
I believe we have another
coach.
Caller. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Shonda. This is Cheryl Bolden.
Oh, hi, Cheryl.
I ain't gonna call you by your nickname, but hi, Cheryl.
I know. Shonda, all I want to say is, you know, you've really been through it, and I remember the day that this happened to your children, because we were all like family. You know, I remember giving your daughter my daughter's clothes and everything. That's how close we were. So the pain that you felt for your kids, I felt that same pain because, well, not the same pain, but I felt pain because we were all there together. And when I heard that, you know, I just couldn't even imagine. To this day, I have lost a daughter, but my daughter's loss was because of illness. And your children's loss was because somebody took them. So I can't even imagine that feeling because they were just taken so instantly. So everything that you're doing to keep their memory alive and, you know, all that you are doing, I commend you for it. I don't even know how you can do it. But I commend you for what you are doing, you know, to keep their spirit in you alive.
And that's God's spirit. We all have it, but we got to use it to our advantage. Not to take advantage, but to our advantage. And he'll give you purpose through your pain. No matter what you go to, you know. I mean, I was there, and you're right. You were there, Shuggy. I mean, we all young. I was a young mother. I didn't even look like the mother. I was like, they telling me to move. They don't know I'm the mother. Because my kids, I mean, yeah, I had my kids early, but they my kids. You understand what I'm saying? And I was able to raise them regardless of all the backlash that was coming my way. The devil is a liar. That's because I had faith and was taught that way. What most have today, I had as a child. I gave it all up. Now, today, I'm content where I'm at. I ain't running over nobody or trying to get here, get there, have this. Child, all this stuff is materialistic. Because when we leave here, they come in like roaches, and they're going to take everything that you work hard for. So why not give back to others that are struggling, to let them know the struggle ain't just about you. It's about all of us. We all got to go. That's how we was taught. You know, we all come out of Stanton Elementary. Don't play Shouldn't.
Yeah, I went to Stanton, too.
I know. And you got popped, too, Melinda. Yeah. We got popped, and it wasn't even our fault. We got popped, you know. But they did rule us out, you know, that we couldn't come out of that. But I thank God that the talent is still alive. Like she said, you was one of my prosperous students. That thing been bugging me. Like, where'd she get that from and knew my whole name? You know, you'd be surprised at who's following you and who in your corner, for real. You'd be surprised. You know? You just got to keep on going. You know, you got to be there. You can't be there for everybody, but you can be there for some. Everybody don't want to help. You know, you just keep it moving. That's all you can do, you know.
Well, I'm going to end, but I just, you know, I just want to say keep doing what you're doing because it keeps you going. You know, you always have to find something that's going to ground you and push you through all the hurt and pain that you're going through. So, again, I commend you for it and keep doing what you're doing, girl.
Thank you, baby. Appreciate you.
All right.
Yes, your strength is amazing. Your strength is amazing. So a year after you got that call that there was a suspect in custody, a year later, six co-defendants actually went on trial. And it was the first death penalty trial held in the nation's capital in years.
Yeah.
But you were against the death penalty for them. Why?
Because I would have had the option to watch and see somebody die. I ain't that callous. Come on now. I ain't never been that type of person. I want to watch you die. I mean, you're going to give somebody the death penalty. That means that gives me the option. I can sit there and watch them execute you or give you the lethal injection. I'm not that type of person. That ain't in me. To see somebody else die because I lost two kids. That's when I killed mine. They'll get there eventually.
Yes, exactly. So basically, you extended to them what God extends to us on a regular, which is grace.
Yes. I had to pray because they was actually going to give this young man the death penalty. You know, I still think about them, but I think about them and I hope they find God just like Paul did in the dungeon. You can still find God even when it looks crazy.
So there were actually six co-defendants, but only one person was charged?
There was six. It was only one person was going to get the death penalty. He supposedly ordered everything around. They had been terrorizing ever since the 80s. I mean, you hear some things, but you don't pay no mind because I never pay youngins no mind. I don't deal with youngins. I have youngins. You know, let the kids play. See, I'm all about the kids. You know, there's age groups and kids, and certain things are expected of certain kids and age groups. You know, I don't knock nobody how they raising is, but then I'll just look at you crazy like, and I have a 17-year-old grandson right now. And I don't know what I'm going to do with him, but that's my baby. That's my heart, for real. I told you, you need to call grandma more often. You know, we got to figure out how we're going to get this thing. Huh?
How old is he?
He's 17. He's at that age.
Oh. Okay. He's in D.C.?
No, he's in Prince George's County, thank God. But still, it ain't no better. People run to Maryland and feel like, I got over. No, you didn't, baby. It's all the same.
PG County is now called Southeast D.C.
Oh, they're Ward 9. I don't know where they come from. I'm like, oh, so you moved to Ward 9.
I never heard that one, Ward 9.
Ward 9.
Wow. So you, so that was, you know, because I've read about mothers and parents in the past that have always wanted revenge for their child's death. That's why I asked you about the death penalty and why you were against that. So
I don't want to see nobody die. I ain't want mine to die. So why would I watch somebody else's child die? They love their kids. Don't think the murderer, the mother, don't love hers. It's a lot of mothers that are going through. I mean, look how you fought for your son. Tell somebody else, they might not understand why you fought for yours. You fought for him because that was your son. You were supposed to fight for him. You know, who else was going to fight for him if you didn't fight for him?
Exactly.
You know?
But the thing is, a lot of times, I believe a lot of mothers would put up the same fight if they knew how. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of them don't know what to do. But what I try to stress to mothers today is that doing nothing is not an option. You know what I mean?
Nope.
You know,
not.
And that's why it was so important for me to release this book, the guide, because a lot of them don't know what to do, sis. So I think that us sharing our stories and stuff like that kind of like gives them, encourages them and empowers them and educates them so they will know. And that was the whole purpose, to share our stories. I commend you for sharing your story, because the caller before Cheryl was really clear about the impact that you've had in her life and helping her to grieve for her son. So I commend you for all that you are doing and you have done in the lives that you're changing. God is using you in a mighty way.
And that's the thing he uses with all of us.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
He uses all of us. I mean, even when we think it ain't right, he always stepped in. We don't know what he's going to do or at what time he's going to do it. But he's going to do it. Ain't no doubt about that. He's going to do
it. Because his ways are not our ways.
No, they not.
And everything is in his timing. Right, exactly. And everything is in his timing. You know, and I'm just so thankful that I know him personally, so because that is where my strength came from, you know, and to be able to share that.
You just say another prayer and get up and go do what you got to do or what you feel.
Exactly.
God, do I need to do this? And you believe and you keep the faith, I can do this. And then after you do it, you're like, dang, I thought it was going to be hard. I mean, I've been through it.
Right, because. Yeah, and you know, I would listen to Whitney Houston's song, I Never Knew My Own Strength, throughout my ordeal, because I never knew exactly how strong I was until you know, I went through this thing. And you, one of the things that you said earlier was just so profound, and that is how he will take your pain and turn your pain into purpose.
Yes.
And I am definitely in the way of that.
You know, because they'll punch holes in your story because they feel it's their story. You know, and
right.
they don't have what you have and what God has blessed you to have. You
right.
know, do that make sense?
It does.
You know.
Exactly, because see, some people, unfortunately, they seek validation from man and from people and from friends and from family. But at the end of the day, eventually the phone calls stop and you are alone to deal with whatever trauma you have been exposed to. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? And I thank God that I was able to seek him. You know, I mean, because unfortunately, a lot of people just continue to try to do it on their own, and that's impossible. You know, it's impossible.
I just said, thank you, God, because it's like this. I had, and I didn't question him. I just said, oh, so that's why you made me like this. You know, all the things I've been through, where I've been, you know, people thought those were, how can I put, what's the word for that? They thought those were my hinders. Those are things that were going to break me. No, he made me like this. He made me strong like this to be a testimony to somebody else, you know, to help somebody else that's going through, you know.
Exactly.
And I did. And, you know, some people tell me, yeah, well, it's a business for me. I said, well, it's personal for me. And it's personal because it's God. That's personal. You know, I ain't going to sit up here and tell no lie. That's personal for me. You know, to do his business and what he wants me to do, not what I want to do. If it was what I wanted to do, child, I'd be eating ice cream right now, complain about how my stomach hurt and why I shouldn't have ate the ice cream when I already know better. You know, he just put me on a different path. Yeah, he just put me on a different path. It's like, okay, you done did all the things. They remember. That's all they know of you. You know, because they still the same. If you can't move forward, you still the same. We've all have grown. Some of us still look alike, and we remember one another. But stop thinking that you above, because God's going to use every last one of us. And that's what he wanted to do, to be a testimony to someone else, to help them go through what they go through. You know, a lot of us are bullied. We got jumped. We got beat up. You know, I mean, hey, some things happened to me. I don't even need to discuss about it, but I don't have no problem in sharing about them. And I still forgave. I won't even let you get mad at my situation if I'm going through something. Before you go, girl, we, you know how we used to do. Oh, they did. Oh, no, we're going over there. We're going over there.
Yeah.
No, we're not going over there. I don't need to go over there. I ain't
right,
going
right.
back over there. That's the thing. I don't need to go
right.
back over there. You know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah. You
right.
know,
absolutely.
You know, never give the devil the power, and that's what we've been doing. We've been manifesting and saying things. Then we get upset because things ain't going our way. And don't say, yeah, hard to get mad. Everybody work hard. Some people hardly work. You don't know what they did. You stay judging them because you feel you above them or, yeah, well, I got this and I got that. That's still materialistic because guess what? You're going to feel the same pain I feel. Don't think
right.
you're going to do this alone.
Right, because the reality is that it's never about us. And we have a tendency to make it. We have a tendency to try to make it about us. So we're winding down here. I believe we have another caller. Caller, are you there? Would you like to speak with Shonda? Hello?
Yes.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? Hi, Melinda, and hi, Sandra. How are you?
Hey. My dummy name Sandra. Okay.
This is Arlene.
How you doing, baby?
I'm hanging in there no matter what.
That's right.
You know, we got to do the three P's in spite of it.
There
for plan, preparation, and purpose.
That's right. Go ahead.
I commend you both It'll be 22 years, October the 22nd of 2020 for my first son, May 12th of 2000. It'll be 20 years for my other son, 21. And it ain't got no different. It's got no better. But the blessing of all of it, the first son left 10 children here. I've been able to raise those children to the best of my ability to help raise them. And then they had the great-grandbaby they never got to see. Much is given and much is required. That's what I know. That's what I know. I'm not here because I'm like that. I'm here because his grace is sufficient. And he saw fit to still let me be alive. Because I'm tired of burning our sons. I'm tired of burning our daughters. You know?
Yeah.
But I ain't tired yet. You know, it's the old song, Mahalia Jackson. I ain't tired yet. Shirley Caesar. I ain't tired yet. You know what I'm saying? I might have a slow journey. My journey is my journey. No matter what, I can't give up. You know, I just want to say this. The judging system didn't prevail for me, but I have to do more things. Even though it's been that much time, they always start shutting the door. Every time I get there, they be quiet.
Uh-huh.
Every time I ask a question, they start backing up because they get scared. Get scared for what? I have a right to ask you all questions. I have a right for you to show me evidence. And they don't. They always tell me they can't find anything. This is what they've been telling me all this time for the first son. The second son, that was squashed off. That was done. But it doesn't make the feeling no bit different. It's a donut in my home, but it's in my stomach, but it ain't in my soul.
Wow.
The hole is in my stomach.
Go ahead.
The hole is in my soul.
You know,
thank you so much for your comment.
Wow.
And I'm tired of it. I get tired of this every day, every evening. And I say something, you can look at me all you want. Don't watch what I do. Don't think that I'm watching you. You better watch what I do.
There you go.
I know that's right. Well, I just want to say, sister, I want to first of all give you my condolences for the loss of your two sons. I want to thank you for your comment this evening. We have like 3 minutes left. We want to kind of give Shonda an opportunity to close us out, but stay on the line and listen in, okay? Thank you so much for your comment, and may God continue to watch over you and all those beautiful grandbabies.
Thank you very much.
And that's a blessing right there, Melinda. That is the blessing.
Yeah.
You know, like, we all have lost. I ain't never think I was going to. My kids were 4 and 2 years old. I ain't never think I was going to have grandkids, kids, or nobody. You know, that's how lonely it had got around here. You know, you know, people were enjoying life and what they had and everything. I'm sitting up here grieving. But then God said, you ain't got to grieve, baby. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to show you that I'm still in control, and I have this. This you ain't even got to worry about. You ain't got to do nothing. Just trust me. And that's what I begin to do, begin to trust with my faith and trust in him. You know, I don't go to church every Sunday, but I got a good teaching ministry, and I'm learning more and more is to be revealed. I done read the Bible about 10 times when I was out there struggling, when I was 13 and 14 on the streets of the District of Columbia. I'm glad I learned prayer because I'm not supposed to be here. He had a greater purpose for me. And even though it hurt what I went through, I knew I still didn't give up on him. You know, sometimes it was been like I never cursed him. I never questioned him. I just kept on seeking him. You know. I can't play this.
Yes, I commend you for your passion to help others who've lost loved ones to violence. You are truly a testimony of strength, and the passion just comes across every time you speak to help others. And I just commend you. Continue to allow God to use you in a mighty way. Your children are smiling down on their mother, who has definitely keeping their memories alive. I commend you. Do you have any last words you would like to share with the audience?
Just keep me in prayer. Pray. We got to pray harder. I mean, we got some things going on right now, and I don't even have no
I can't even tell you what's going on, but I'm preparing myself because I don't have no choice. I have to prepare myself for what is about to take place. Something is going on. And like I said, we done fed a lot of stuff into the universe. You know, you better pull out them Bibles, pull out them good books, you know, words of faith, anything that's going to help you to move on to the next season. You know,
yeah.
It ain't going to be easy. Nothing is easy. You know, everything that I receive, I work hard. And when I said I work hard, I went through some stuff to get where I am today, and I'm for where I'm at today. Matter of fact, Monday, it's a tragedy going on, but it's all good. I'm going to feed the homeless out of pocket. I'm just going to take them up there, and I got somebody that's going to help me, and we're going to go feed the people and call it a day. And that's going to be my blessing for what I went through. That's my apology for what I went through.
Well, I want to thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your story, for being on the show tonight. I'm so excited about what God is doing in your life and what's to come, because he is not finished with you yet, honey. And I'm excited
about
what he's going to do.
I'm excited about you. And it is injustice.
Yes, it is.
Don't forget to mention your book. Y'all need to get a copy of it because there's some powerful women in it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, Shonda Smith's story is one that more mothers than we know have had to endure. Her resilience and determination to keep her kids' memories alive is a true testament of a Black mother's love. I wish her well in all her future endeavors. Next week's guest will be the founder and CEO of Mama Safe Haven, Beverly Smith-Graham. Yes, she is the CEO and founder of Mama Safe Haven, and it's an organization that offers community resources, i.e. feeding the homeless, rental assistance, emergency shelter, etc. throughout the District of Columbia. If you have a story of injustice you would like to share or would like to recommend a topic for discussion on a future show, please DM author Melinda Robertson across all media platforms. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's show, and we will be back at it again next week. Stay safe and be blessed. Peace.
Thank you, Melinda. Yeah.
You're welcome, sweetie. Thank you.
Y'all ready to ride? You the latest and the greatest of your lineage. Makeup and clothes, ain't you? That's what your image is. Here's what it really is. Perception is direction. You receive what you perceive. What you give is what you get in. This lesson is the weapon that I already gave you. Fear not. Draw your gun, your God, universe, nature. Game changer. Your higher self is calling you. The vehicle for change has arrived. What you want to do?
I want to take a ride. I want to feel the vibe.
Traffic stop, we could be shot down, and in the courts it's just us. Justice is not found. Roadblocks, checkpoints, and a lockdown. If you ain't strong, it won't be long before you knocked down. But there's another way. Turn off what these others say. You the most important thing you have to think about today. So here's what I'ma say. Listen while I'm rapping it. Your mind, that's a magnet. What you think, you'll attract it. So ask it to manifest the things that you really like. Friends that you really like. Not the hateful, silly type. Don't be deceived by greed. Here's what it's really like. Their body drives a car, but their mind rides a mini bike. You know the person that you be and ain't all of you. The vehicle for change has arrived. What you wanna do?
I wanna take a ride. I wanna feel the vibe. I'm feeling good inside.
Let's ride.
I wanna take a ride. I wanna feel the vibe. I'm feeling good inside.
Let's ride.
I wanna take a ride. I wanna feel the vibe. I'm feeling good inside.